the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Cody Bessant with Plains Cotton Growers. First, Brad Rippey, meteorologist, USDA, has a look at the pace of peanut pegging and the conditions.
Peanuts, roughly a third of the crop, 34% pegging by June 26th. That is equal to the five-year average, 2 percentage points ahead of last year at this time. Still watching a drought-delayed crop on the southern plains. It went in late and not developing at a normal pace. No pegging yet in Oklahoma. 12 points is the five-year average. On the other hand, we see almost half the crop pegging in Florida, 45%. In terms of peanut condition, another decline in overall conditions this week to 59% good to excellent, down from 66% a week ago. 7% very poor to poor, no change from last week. So the erosion in condition is in the upper end, the good to excellent ratings.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Cody Bessant. Cody is the CEO for Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. The acronym is PCG. And Cody, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be here with you.
Well, I wish you could tell me as we visit this week that cotton condition ratings were great because of the widespread moisture across the largest cotton growing region in the U.S. But unfortunately, you can't tell me that. So, what can you tell me is when you start looking at the High Plains cotton crop, where are we?
Yeah, certainly we're all fully planted and trying to look at the current condition with the cotton crop in general. Dry land, for the most part, it's still struggling very much throughout the area, largely just because we've been not able to receive the adequate enough rainfall that we traditionally would have received throughout a growing season. On average, we're probably around 4 to 5 inches below where we normally would be from a traditional rainfall across the area. So that's causing some implications on the crop. Irrigated acres are still relatively prevalent. It is becoming a little bit of a challenge throughout the area because of lower irrigation rates or the ability to apply enough irrigation to supplement what we have not received throughout the area. And so evapotranspiration or ET is becoming a cause and effect. So it takes a lot longer for an irrigation system to get around in a circle, given the humid and the heat conditions we've received, to try to really get that crop continue to boom and go. But that is the overall condition. There are some spots. There are some really good areas that have received some timely rainfall that certainly will make a crop throughout this year, as long as we continue to have timely rains going forward. This week being a good example of that, we had a small spotty set of showers the last couple of days. Hopefully toward the middle of this week, we'll have a couple of more. But it's going to be a challenging year, and I think everybody is well aware with that, knowing going forward just what the cropping conditions are like. But it's nothing that we haven't faced before. It's certainly not like we have faced in 2011. At least not yet. And so there's still a lot of hope for those that can make a crop, those that have the inputs in the ground. The challenge we get into is a rise of input cost. But there are still some pricing opportunities to offset that. But I couple that as well. We have seen the market slip a little bit the last week and more than a little bit. So people need to be kind of mindful if they're going to move a crop to harvest, and I hope they do, to be able to capture some of the pricing conditions that we have today and not let that go to waste or weather away and miss that pricing opportunity as well.
Cody, when we look at, and obviously we're not really watching that July contract anymore. That's the old crop. Not a lot of old crop even left to sell at this point. But the fact that in one trading session, it lost more than the price of cotton was about 10 years ago at one point, or 15 years ago, it lost over 30 cents in one day. So the markets definitely are very volatile at this point.
No doubt. And certainly I hope people are mindful of that as they start to look at the harvest season, if they can get a crop going and really energize it. But marketing conditions are very volatile. At least from our understanding, what is driving some of it is some of the demand and supply aspect. But really a good portion of it is because of the concern going forward of a recession and inflation rates and the overall geopolitical economy that we're seeing really play out. And you see it on a lot of fronts very directly, whether it be on fuel prices, on grocery bills. And that's what the consumer can really understand. The producers really can feel it as we see some of the price decline and volatility that we're seeing today. And so that's why I mentioned for producers to be very mindful, be watchful of the market. If you can capture some price optimism, I certainly would take a look at it. But just understand it's going to be a very swinging and volatile market moving forward.
We probably don't need to try to compare homeowners insurance or car insurance with that of crop insurance. It's not even an apple and orange. It's like a dog and an apple. You just can't get the two to compare. However, I think one thing that anybody in or outside the industry understands, there are certain things that insurance just can't get you covered for. And I set that up because in the past we've seen a program from USDA known as WIP, and then WIP Plus as it was expanded to help out more producers through drought and some other issues. That has now morphed into a program called the Emergency Relief Program, or ERP. What's happening on that front?
But it's been fully implemented. The completion or sign-up deadline for phase one is July the 22nd. Most folks should have received a pre-populated form for their 2020 or 21 crop year, depending on if they qualified for an eligible loss. Some may receive a form at a later date throughout August, depending on their type of crop insurance that they took in 2021. By example, if they took stacks or if they took SCO in 2021, we are still waiting on some indemnity numbers throughout the U.S. to finish populating those forms. And so kind of hang tight for the resolve of that. On that, there's a few technical corrections that are going on. Obviously, with any program that's being implemented on a nationwide scale, there's going to be some difficulties on a local level or a farm gate level. And so there are some challenges we're trying to work through, be it one is a means test, where folks are looking at 75% of a generated income of farming or more. Certainly that's a case that comes into a concern or an issue that we have been made aware of, where those that have generated that type of income and can prove that up are still being kind of quayed and questioned a little bit on that, largely through some tax provisions that have not been readily updated by FSA compared to what was passed in 2018. By the Tax Cuts and Jobs Reform Bill in the previous administration. So we're still working a little bit in that. Secondly, once phase one is fully implemented and completed and some of the technical corrections are done, we will venture into phase two. Phase two will be a component of producers that had quality loss adjustments or shallow loss, or producers in the case that they potentially did not have insurance. A lot of that would be on a specialty crop producer within the region or without the U.S. And so that will come before probably November is what we're being told. We don't have a whole lot of details on it yet of how phase two would look like or how it would work, other than more than likely will be a self-certified based program, just because the dynamics of doing a pre-populated form are not as simple in phase two as it has been in phase one. But ultimately, FSA should be able to readily implement phase two just as they have done phase one, as well as producers working in conjunction with their crop insurance agents to correct any technical difficulties they may have had or any tweaks or changes that need to be made from an eligibility standpoint should be able to readily be remedied in phase two. So for those that are having some difficulties, I certainly would encourage them to contact us or contact the National Cotton Council or other appropriate commodity groups to notify of the difficulties they may be having if they are. If not, perfect. The program is being implemented as designed, but we want to make sure we amend or correct any challenges that folks may be having if they are. before we get into phase two.
How important is it building relationships so that when a member who isn't familiar with the crop has somebody that they can call? How important is that?
Vastly important. And in all groups, spend time with either the ranking member or their chairman trying to build rapport going into a farm bill discussion. And certainly that's one thing we try to capitalize on. You know, by example, ranking member G.T. Thompson has spent a vast amount of time in Texas the last couple of years really trying to learn and harness the different ag products and ag interests that we have in the state. He's been to Lubbock, Texas. He's been to the Corpus Christi area. He's been throughout the Rolling Plains and certainly traveled and become more averse throughout the U.S. on different ag interests that are outside of the state of Pennsylvania. He knows cotton. He's become more astute in cotton. He knows catfish farming down in the lower Rio Grande Valley area or South Texas area because he has been committed and spent time there to learn more about it. And that's very admirable of him as becoming, being the ranking member now, you know, potentially intermittently could be chairman, or vice versa with, David Scott being the current chairman. He's certainly spent a lot of time traveling around, trying to learn more about issues that he is unfamiliar with. And it's a whole different interest whenever you become chairman of a committee and someone outside of your district that has to represent all facets of agriculture, versus what your initial district has to offer. And I certainly applaud them for doing that. But it's a lot of time spent by organizations such as ourselves, but also time away from production ag, from farms for some of our leadership, but also others in general that get to spend time with the ranking member or chairman or other members in Congress, trying to better educate them of the overall value of ag across the board in the U.S. And we're very proud to be able to be an advocate to do that. And certainly they have been very receptive to learn more about the industry and how we can enhance and improve the farm policy we have today moving into the discussions for the next farm bill.
At the end of the day, it's relationships. And speaking of relationships, we can follow what's happening with Plains Cotton Growers. Website a good place to go?
Number one, be plainscotton.org, or you can follow us on social media or get our newsletter every week if you sign up online.
Again, that's plainscotton.org. Cody Besson is CEO for PCG on today's Agribusiness Report.
It's time to rethink everything you thought you knew about tractors. With the new Fendt 900, the ultimate row crop tractor. Purpose-built to be the hardest-working, most reliable tractor you can buy. Get more uptime, less downtime, all the time, with the best maintenance, service, and warranty program around. It's Fendt, it's time, and it's here. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24-7 service for your 24-7 operation.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turn roads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, CEO, Plains Cotton Growers, Cody Besson.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like at Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. It's the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with Plains Cotton Growers online, PlainsCotton.org.
Time. It's not always a friend, particularly during harvest. Every wasted moment is a chance for rain, shattered pods, and an even later night. So why fumble with those concaves and settings on your combine when you change crops? When you harvest with a Gleaner, switching and setting a crop is quick and easy. Get ready to save time and money with Gleaner. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Among the government-to-government meeting focal points as part of the recent USDA-led agricultural trade mission to the United Kingdom.
Discussion in terms of efforts to reduce tariff and non-tariff barriers in the UK. We also emphasize and encourage the UK in the use of science-based and data-driven decision-making. And one of the main goals was to encourage the UK to sign on to the Sustainable Productivity Growth Coalition.
Deputy Agriculture Secretary Jill Bernaw, speaking with reporters Monday, noted success occurred with the specific announcement from UK Secretary of State for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs George Eustace that his government
signed on to the SPG Coalition. So the UK is a member of the Sustainable Productivity Growth Coalition.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.